en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 911-335-831 o entra en grupovaughan.com. Campamentos de verano Vaughan, porque aprenden, disfrutan, conviven, juegan, experimentan, hacen amigos y asimilan el idioma de forma natural y pierden el miedo a hablar, abriéndose paso en este complicado mundo de la comunicación en inglés. Cada año más de 3.000 familias confían en nosotros para el aprendizaje del inglés de sus hijos y su desarrollo personal, con una forma de trabajar motivadora y muy personal a través de un amplio abanico de programas que cubren las distintas necesidades de nuestros alumnos. La coordinación pedagógica de Vaughan asegura un ambiente de inmersión cuidado y de calidad. Campamentos de verano Vaughan, 91-133-5832. No lo dejes para el último momento, 91-133-5832.
Remember to follow us on social media to get all the latest information on all our offers and special deals.
Hello and welcome to Speaking Football. My name's Tommy Hay and I'm joined here by my co-presenter, Ruben Palomero, for episode number 44 of this series. Now today we're going to be talking a little bit about the Copa del Rey, which took place in midweek. We're going to teach you how to say gol de último minuto in English. And we're also going to be giving you some of our candidates, some of our selections for the goal of the season so far. First though, we're going to start off the show, as always, by revealing the identity of last week's mystery player. Ruben, kick us off. That's another way to say start us off. You can kick us off with...
I'm going to do it. he was player manager with Chelsea. Fijaos como decimos entrenador jugador. Player manager.
That's it. Yeah, so player guion hyphen, we say. Player hyphen manager. So player manager with Chelsea. Very good. Clue number two. He played in his native country, his home country. He played in Italy and he also played in England. So three countries he played in. Clue number three, Ruben.
He won two European Cups.
Very good. And what's the difference between a European Cup and a Eurocopa? What's the difference?
Pues una copa es la Eurocopa. Si teníamos la Eurocopa, es la competición internacional que se juega, y la copa, ¿te refieres a la Copa de Europa, la diferencia?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sería la que juegan los clubes.
Exactly. So like the modern day Champions League. So this guy won two of the old European Cups, which was the Champions League. And clue number four is that he won one Euro Cup. So the European Championship is what we call the Eurocopa. He won that in 1988. And lastly, clue number five.
He was an anti-apartheid activist.
Yeah, it's a difficult word to pronounce that because it's an Afrikaans. Sí. I believe it's apartheid is the
apartheid. Apartheid. Es que me sale decir aquí en España decimos apartheid.
Apartheid, yeah, no. Sí. It's apartheid. Sometimes people used to say apartheid as well, but yes, apartheid, I believe, which was the racial segregation system in South Africa. Well, this guy, our mystery player, was an activist against apartheid. He was against the movement that existed in South Africa. Who was our mystery player, Ruben?
Our mystery player was... Ruud Gullit.
Very good. Ruud Gullit, which is a very difficult name to pronounce as well. Our Dutch isn't very good on this show. We have to say my Dutch is not very advanced. But yes, Ruud Gullit, the Dutch footballing legend Ruud Gullit, famously played for AC Milan and Chelsea and Sampdoria, among other teams. Did we have many winners this week, Ruben?
Sí, bueno, lo ha acertado José R. Armenteros, que nunca falla. Iván Lozano, CBP, siempre ahí. Daniel Alejandro también. Max Power, por supuesto. José Miguel Balbuena, Juan Connor y Javier SB7.
Very good, excellent. But we're seeing a few regulars in there, but there's always a couple of new names, which is good. Well, congratulations to everyone who took part. Now, a question that Ruud Gullit is often asked in interviews is, which team was better, the AC Milan team of the 1980s or the Barcelona team from 2008 to 2015? Do you have an opinion on this, Ruben? Was the AC Milan team of the 80s the best ever, or were Barcelona superior?
It's very difficult to compare different teams in different years. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, there are two teams that they change the way everybody plays football. And that is very difficult and very important, because that way of playing becomes a trending about a trend how the new teams will play. So there are two very big teams, obviously, AC Milan mete presión, saca la defensa, etc. Y sin embargo, el Barcelona de Guardiola, pues es un poco presión adelantada, toque rápido, búsqueda de espacio, juego posicional. Son dos equipos para mí impresionantes, y es difícil decir cuál fue mejor.
Yeah, and that's it. And they were revolutionary, is probably how we would say it. They changed football in their own way. There's a team every 20 or 30 years that does that, who revolutionizes the game. So I think that's the best thing you can say about both teams. Well, let's hear what Ruud Gullit himself has to say about the two teams.
¿Qué equipo es mejor, el Barcelona o el Milan?
No.
¿O tú, Milan?
No, I think it's a different team. Different era also, different time. I think that Barcelona at the moment, I think is controlling the game in the same way we did in the 90s. And I love to see, you know, both teams, but it is difficult when you play yourself to realize how good you are, because we wanted to win all the time. And of course, that was not always possible, but we tried.
I think he's correct when he says it's difficult to compare teams from different times, from different eras. Different footballing eras have different styles of playing. They have different conditions. They get different lifestyles as well. You think about how much the diet, for example, has changed in the last few decades. So I would say it's impossible to compare. Anyway, moving on. This week, we can confirm that there are four semi-finalists of the Copa del Rey: Barcelona, Sevilla, Levante, and Athletic Bilbao. The quarterfinals we had earlier in the week were fantastic, weren't they, Ruben?
Yeah, sobre todo porque ha habido muchas prórrogas.
Yeah, lots of extra time action. Yeah, yeah, it was really, really strange. I think actually what part of what made these games so exciting wasn't the number of goals, but as you say, the timing of the goals that took it to extra time. So, well, to talk about this more in detail, it's time for this week's Football Expressions.
Football Expressions.
So, Ruben, little test here for you. How do you say gol de último minuto in English?
A ver, lo sé decir de dos maneras, a last minute goal y last gasp goal.
Fantastic. Last gasp goal. Now, gasp is very, sounds very poetic, but what is a gasp? It's like a breath, isn't it? It's
sí,
like
como coger aliento, ¿no? Como el último suspiro. También se dice aquí, ¿eh? Gol en el último suspiro, también se dice.
That's it. Okay, so suspiro would be like a gasp, yeah, a last gasp goal. Or you can just say a last minute goal. It's probably the most common way to say it. Now, something important that I should say here before we start is that we sometimes say last minute goal even if it's not precisely exactly the last minute. So, for example, if there are 5 minutes of extra time and someone scores in the 90th minute, we still often describe it as a last minute goal, even if it's not technically the last minute. So that's a little thing there. Ruben, how would you say marcar un gol de último minuto?
Pues utilizaríamos el verbo to score, no sé, to score a last minute goal or to score a gasp minute goal.
A last gasp goal, we would say,
a last gasp, yes, exactly.
Which is
to
a bit
score
of
a last minute goal or to score a last gasp goal.
Very good, excellent. Now, last gasp is a bit of a trabalengua, is a bit of a...
Es complicado pronunciar last gasp.
It's a bit of a tongue twister. So, last minute, if you want an easy way. Good. How would you say tres partidos fueron decididos por goles en el último minuto.
Three games were decided by last minute goals.
Fantastic. Three games were decided by last minute goals. The same as in Spanish, we use the passive. They were decided by last minute goals. And going back in history now, not too far in history, but going back in history, how do you say el Madrid ganó la final gracias a un gol de Gareth Bale en el último minuto?
Madrid won the final thanks to a last-gasp goal by Gareth Bale.
Fantastic. Very good. Thanks to a last-gasp goal by Gareth Bale. Very good. Or a last-minute goal by Gareth Bale. Yes, they did. Let's go back to the 2014 Copa del Rey final between Real Madrid and Barcelona when Gareth Bale scored this unforgettable goal at the Mestalla.
Contral. Bale. Oh, Barca. Beat the pace here by Gareth Bale. It's a terrific run. Can he go all the way? Gareth Bale lights up the Copa del Rey final. A Welshman abroad celebrates. And Real Madrid are less than 6 minutes away from lifting the Copa del Rey through Gareth Bale.
That was an incredible goal, wasn't it, Ruben? Really, really memorable goal.
Yes. In my opinion, think Bartra made a mistake. Le faltó colmillo, diríamos. Si le daban un empujoncito más a la izquierda, tarjeta amarilla, bueno. Lo que pasa es que ahí...
It reminds me a little bit of something that Peter Reid said. Peter Reid was one of the English players who played against Maradona in 1986. Yeah. And the question that Peter Reid always receives is, why didn't you kick Maradona? Why didn't you foul Maradona to stop him? And I think Bartra maybe should have done that because Bale was just so fast, you know? And I think that's what makes the goal so special, really, is the fact that he has so much energy to run like that so late in the game. And he runs so far and so fast that nobody can really stop him. It was a really, really, really memorable goal, this one. I think now would be a good time for a little bit of Copa del Rey trivia, wouldn't you, Ruben? You like your...
Okay, I love trivias.
You're honestly the champion at this. And I swear again, I swear to God, Ruben does not know the answers to these. These are all surprises. And he always gets them. He's a real champion at the trivia. Okay, a few questions for you about the history of the Copa del Rey. Question number one, what year was the first ever Copa del Rey and who won it?
I think the winner was Bilbao, but not the real Athletic de Bilbao, but something called something like Vizcaya, something like that, in 1903, 1902.
I'm gonna give you the complete point for that because it was 1903, and it actually was Athletic Bilbao. It was the team that we kent as Athletic Bilbao. The thing is, there were lots of teams round about that time. Like Irún, for example, and Unión, that was the same team. Eventually. And there were a few other ones that like merged, you know, that came together. Vizcaya, obviously a team that, you know, took from the areas around about where the club was based and things. But Athletic Bilbao were a team at the time. So yeah, they won 3-2 in the final 1903 against Madrid FC. Because they were at Real Madrid at the time, they hadn't received the royal stamp. I'm going to give you a point for that, Ruben. Very, very impressive.
Thank you.
Now, this is a tricky one. The last time Real Betis won the Copa del Rey was in 2005 when they beat Osasuna in the final. Yeah. Here's a question. Who scored the winning goal for Betis that day? A clue is that he shares his name with the lead singer from El Canto del Loco.
The singer, his name is Dani. I remember Dani was a jugador calvo del Betis.
Bold.
Bueno, claro, se rapaba, bold player, se rapaba la cabeza, muy habilidoso, pequeño, marcaría él seguramente.
That's
Me suena que Oliveira pudo marcar también goles, esa final.
I think Oliveira scored the first one, then Osasuna equalized. And then Dani Martín scored. Yep, that's it. So Dani was his name, and he has the same name as the singer from El Canto del Loco.
Sí.
Not bad at all. 2 points out of two. Number three, interesting one. I'm going quite far back in time here. Which four-time winner of the Copa del Rey was immortalized in a painting, un cuadro, by the artist Aurelio Arteta? The name of the painting is Idilio en los Campos de Sport.
Vamos a ver. Este es un jugador que de Athletic de Bilbao, que tuvo que ser hace tiempo, porque que ganara cuatro veces la Copa del Rey ya las primeras épocas. A ver, me la voy a jugar. Pichichi.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. ¿Sí? Pichi, yes. Rafael Moreno Aranzadi, also known as Pichichi. He was called that because he was...
Ha sido suerte, ¿eh? That's
unbelievable. Well,
pero era porque un jugador antiguo...
It was obvious if you think about it, but really difficult. There's actually a bit of confusion about this because they're not entirely sure if the painting was of Pichichi or Belauste, who was his teammate. There's a little bit of debate about this, but we think it's probably almost certainly Pichichi in the Arteta painting. But yeah, not bad. 3 out of 3, not bad. And I think you're gonna get the rest of these maybe. Question number 4. Real Madrid won the 1980 Copa del Rey final 6-1. What was unusual about this final?
Could be this final was the final in which Real Madrid Castilla arrived to the final and played against the first team at the final?
That's it. Unbelievable. Yes, that's it. So it was Real Madrid against Real Madrid in this final. It was Real Madrid
first. Con la Quinta del Buitre jugando en el Castilla.
Very, very strange. Yeah. So the Quinta del Buitre, the Vulture Gang, as we call them in English, a lot of them were playing in that team. And the first team, Santillana, Del Bosque, Juanito, they all got goals for the first team and it was 6-1. It was a very easy win. It was such a strange situation, though, Real Madrid against Castilla.
Ahora no se puede. Ahora está prohibido que jueguen los filiales, independientemente.
They changed it so you couldn't have the filiales, the B teams, playing anymore. I think they changed it in 1990, 1991. So it's now illegal. That's why that doesn't happen anymore. Probably because of this final, because it was so absurd having Real Madrid against Real Madrid. But there you go. And now, I think you're going to get 5 out of 5 here. Question number 5. A new Copa del Rey trophy was made for the 2010-2011 season by Madrid jeweler Federico Alegre. What happened to the trophy on the 21st of April 2011?
I think it was the year that Sergio Ramos was with the cap in the top of the pass, and we'll say that he had an accident.
He had an accident. I love this in Spanish, because in Spanish you say, se le cayó la copa, se le cayó, as if it was the cup's fault. It's not the cup's fault, it's Sergio Ramos's fault. In English, we're more active. We say, Sergio Ramos dropped the trophy. Dropped it. This verb to drop, which is dejar caer.
Aunque sea involuntario, aunque sea, dejó caer, ¿no? Claro.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, en español podrías decir también, Sergio Ramos dejó caer la copa. Pero si dices eso, estás dando a entender que ha sido deliberado.
Exactly. So that it's deliberate. No, in English, we would need to say he dropped it deliberately. You would have to say in English. But if it's se le cayó, it would be he dropped it because he's torpe, he's clumsy. So he dropped it that year. Rubén, absolutely outstanding. 5 out of 5. I'd be curious to see if people at home get 5 out of 5, but you're the reigning champion by far. Way better than anyone else.
La de Pichichi ha sido mucha suerte, ¿eh?
Yeah.
Porque yo no sabía nada de ese cuadro, pero pensé que alguien que había ganado tanto hace tiempo tendría que ser un jugador antiguo y Pichichi era el primero que venía a la cabeza.
He's very humble, isn't he, guys? He's very, very humilde. He's very, very humble with his victory. Really good. Okay. For the second part of today's show, we're going to talk about golazos. We're going to talk about great goals. How do you say golazo in English? There are various ways to say it. Give me some examples.
I usually say worldly.
Worldly.
Worldly, yeah.
Okay, so worldly is... Yeah, it's a very English expression, that, worldly. W-O-R-L-D-Y, so world like mundo. Yeah, worldly. In England, everybody says this word. What a worldly, you would say for que golazo. You can say lots of different things. A word that my dad used the other day, I was talking to him, to describe the Luke de Jong goal, was a beauty, which literally means belleza, beauty. Mm. Or the bella, how do you say, is it the bella... Dormida.
Si te sabes bien los personajes Disney.
Yeah.
Tienes the Beauty Sleeping, ¿no?
The Bella Durmiente. Other way.
Ah, Sleeping Beauty.
The Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah,
Sleeping,
exactly.
Beauty, la Bella Durmiente.
That's it.
Y luego la Bella y la Bestia también es así, ¿no?
The Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the Beauty and the Beast. So if you want to say, like, qué golazo, you can actually say qué belleza. You can say what a beauty, you can say for that as well. We're going to play a clip just now. This is probably the most famous use of the word beauty in English commentary. It's a Scottish commentator called Andy Gray, and it's his reaction to Steven Gerrard's goal for Liverpool against Olympiacos in 2005.
Miller, lovely cushion header for Gerrard! Oh, you beauty! What a headshot! What a head!
So there you go. Another way to say Keiko Lazo is what a beauty. Now, my favourite goal of the season so far, we actually spoke about this last week, is Luke de Jong's goal just there against Valencia with the 37 passes and all that. But we already spoke about that last week, so we're not going to do it again. Ruben, before the show, I asked you if you had any candidates for goal of the season so far. Have there been any particularly special goals for you this year?
Creo que todavía no lo hemos visto. He visto un gol bonito, Keke García, el Eibar contra el Real Madrid, un taconazo que hizo Bardi, no sé si fue este año o el anterior. Y luego también un gol de Machis, de Granada, pero es verdad que yo creo que todavía el golazo tiene que venir. Además es muy importante cuando se marca en momentos claves de la Champions o finales de Liga.
Yeah.
Pueden ser los que se deciden, ¿no?
They were all good goals, yeah, in Spain. And in England, you mentioned Son's goal. The Korean strikers go against Arsenal, the long distance one.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. And to score that in a derby as well, the North London derby, it's absolutely incredible. I would put Son's goal up there. I would also highlight a few words that, a few goals, for example, like Antoine Griezmann's goal against Osasuna, the volley that he scored. There was another goal, Barrenechea, against Eibar.
Great player, Barrenechea.
I love Barrenechea.
Very down and very dynamic. Very good player. He's going to be a very good player, Barrenechea.
He is, and he is so young. I think he's 19 or something. At the time of recording, anyway, I think he's about 19 years old, which is just incredible. So, yeah, he scored a goal against Eibar. I would describe this goal as a screamer, which in Spanish is like trayazo, no? We were talking about that when we were on La Media Inglesa. A trayazo, it's like a powerful shot from outside the box. Barrenechea's goal against Eibar, it was so good, and it went in off the crossbar as well, which is, they always look better when they go in off the crossbar, don't they? So yeah,
the crossbar is la escuadra.
The escuadra, the larguero or the...
El larguero. El crossbar es el palo de arriba. Tenemos que hablar de eso porque hay gente que para decir la escuadra en inglés es un jaleo. Larguero, sí, the crossbar...
Or travesaño as well, you can say for crossbar.
Sí,
travesaño,
sí.
Exactly. So if it goes in off the crossbar, it means that it hits the crossbar before going in, and it's always better when that happens. One last goal before we go on to the mystery player. There's another goal that I recommend all of you watch if you haven't seen it. It's from the German League. It was a goal by Valentino Lazzaro for Borussia Mönchengladbach against Bayer Leverkusen back in November. It's difficult to describe this goal if you haven't seen it, but it's called the Scorpion Kick goal. El gol de Scorpion. Yeah, it's amazing.
Sí, me lo imagino.
It was a bit like Higuita, what Higuita used to do, but he did it with one foot, and it's inside the box. It's just spectacular. If you haven't seen this goal, go onto YouTube and look for it. Valentino Lazzaro Scorpion Kick. You won't regret it. It's a worldie, as we would say. Okay, well, we don't have much time left, so we're going to finish the programme, as always, by giving you the clues for next week's Mystery Player.
Mystery Player.
Ruben, clue number one.
He scored in two European Championship finals.
Fantastic. He scored in two European Championship finals, so international.
Esto no es fácil, ¿eh? Esto no es nada fácil.
No easy.
Marcar en dos finales de la Eurocopa.
Yep, not easy at all, and I think that's probably what he's most remembered for.
Esa pista casi lo saca, sí.
Yeah, I think it is probably maybe one of the biggest ones, yeah. This one's a bit more... This one might catch a few people out. It might confuse a few people. Clue number two. He played in three big European leagues. He played in Spain, he played in England, and he also played in Italy. So be careful about this one. Clue number three, Ruben.
He never won La Liga. Pero ya me refiero, no ganó una liga, ni ligas en ningún país de Europa.
Yeah, exactly.
No ganó
la
liga de un país de Europa.
Yeah, he never won a, we would say he never won a league title in any in any country that he played in. So yeah, not just La Liga, the Spanish league, any league title.
Anyone.
Very interesting. Clue number four, he did win the Champions League, he won the Europa League, he won the World Cup. And he also won the European Championship, so...
Esto es muy raro. O sea, ha ganado la Champions, la Liga Europa, la Copa del Mundo y la Copa de Europa, pero no la Liga. Es rarísimo.
He obviously just loves his tournaments. You know, there are players who just seem to do better in tournaments, or managers that seem to do better in tournaments, like Marcelino. Marcelino loves his cups, doesn't he? The Super Cup and the Copa del Rey. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. And the last clue, Ruben, what is it?
He participated in a music video of El Canto del Loco, que como hemos dicho antes, se llama Dani Martín.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I don't know why we're talking so much about the Canto del Loco today, but yeah, they're a good band. They're a good band. Okay, so I think that's five pretty good clues. I think we're giving quite a lot away this week. As always, if you think you know the answer, you can write to us on Twitter at Speak Football and let us know who you think the mystery player is. That's all we've got time for in this week's show. Thanks for joining us as always, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yo en mi caso me lancé a hacer el máster porque en mi trabajo necesitaba hacer presentaciones en inglés, necesitaba hablar mucho en inglés, incluso por teléfono. Entonces fue la razón principal por la que me lancé a hacerlo, para tener una fluidez alta en el idioma y además hacerlo con seguridad.
Tengo grandes problemas a la hora de hablar. Me puedo comunicar perfectamente, pero no hablo de una manera correcta. Y también cosas muy importantes, como el poder hablar en público sin tener que tener ese miedo o ese vacío a la hora de decir qué hago ahora o qué digo. Con el máster he solucionado ese tipo de problemas, la verdad.
Yo lo que más destacaría del máster serían los profesores. Ellos son unos grandes profesionales, te motivan muchísimo con el inglés. Por supuesto, los materiales exclusivos que tenemos en el programa.
No estás como en una clase típica, cogiendo apuntes, escribiendo. Lo trabajas hablando, y eso es muy complicado, porque coger una frase y de repente tener que hacerla en interrogativa, en negativa, cuando no lo tienes delante, ayuda a que la agilidad verbal y tu capacidad también con el idioma sea cada vez mayor, porque es un reto.
Una de las partes que más me gustó del programa fueron las presentaciones a las que me tenía que enfrentar prácticamente cada semana. Otra de las cosas que más me gustó del máster fueron los dos Bound Town a los que asistí, porque esas experiencias eran siempre inolvidables y es una manera de darle un empujón importante al inglés.
Ya lo has oído, apúntate al máster de inglés profesional, ahora por videoconferencia. La misma calidad e intensidad, pero sin perder tiempo en desplazamientos. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate.
Remember to follow us on social media to get all the latest information on all our offers and special deals.
Nuestro curso online es único por una sencilla razón. Nuestros profesores son los mejores del mercado. Richard Vaughan, Ximena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso, Richard Brown. Nuestros All Stars desde cualquier lugar. Por menos de 30 céntimos al día. Quédate en casa y aprovecha para poner en forma tu inglés. Entra en la web cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com e infórmate. Pruébalo durante 2 semanas y si no te gusta, te devolvemos el dinero. cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com, porque hay muchos, pero solo uno de Vaughan. Aprovecha el tiempo en esta nueva normalidad y resuelve tu viejo problema con el inglés de manera definitiva. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional, ahora en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupobaugan.com. Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan.
Casi un año de pandemia, de malas noticias y de inseguridad. Casi un año sin